Psalm 23. Our brother David knew what it was to be a shepherd, and he also knew what it was to be a sheep, and he knew enough about being a shepherd that he knew that he needed a shepherd because he also was a sheep. He realized how dumb sheep are. If you haven't learned that you're dumb, you've got some lessons to learn. There's no doubt. I think one of the first things God wants to teach his people is just how dumb we are. We are ignorant. We are ill-equipped. We are insufficient. We do not know what to do, and we wouldn't be able to do it if we did know. And God not only wants us to know that, he likes it that way. He wants us to realize how desperately we need him. When he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he meant it. When he said to the disciples, "Without me you can do nothing," he meant it. And if you've heard him, if you listen to him, you've heard him say the same thing to you. And there's one thing for him to say it. There's one thing for us to read it in the Bible. But when you live it, when you learn it, when you realize, "I cannot, I am not able, I am worthless, my effort is useless, my effort is vain, I need him," you are beginning to learn. I want to try to preach this evening on this subject, learning life's lesson. Learning life's lesson. In verse 1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's an awful lot in that verse. I want to try and peck on just one little thought about it. David said, "I know I need a shepherd, and I know I have one. And since I have a shepherd, there's no reason for me to want. There's nothing I lack. There's nothing that comes short. He is all that I need. He is all that I need." And when you realize in some way that God's all you need, you have learned one of life's valuable lessons. When he's all we have, we realize he's all we need. David learned something, and he learned something that would see him through the difficult days. He learned about a shepherd. He learned that he needed the shepherd. No matter what he was facing, no matter what was confronting his life, he learned this lesson. He needed a shepherd. I've said it before, he was a shepherd, so he knew what it was to be a shepherd dealing with sheep. And since he also was a sheep having a shepherd, he realized how much he needed his shepherd. Can I say this evening, he needed the Lord, and he knew that. What a lesson. What a valuable lesson to learn, that we need the Lord. According to verse 1, he knew that he needed the Lord with the flock. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I understand that, says David. "For I know what it is to be a shepherd. And I know how dumb those sheep are. And how powerless they are. And how helpless they are." God chose the right animal when he likened us to sheep. For sheep cannot take care of themselves. They depend totally on the shepherd. If the shepherd does not protect them, they will die. If the shepherd does not provide for them, they will go without. If the Lord, the shepherd, does not take care of the sheep, they will lack, they will hunger, they will eventually die. And that's exactly the kind of thing that David is trying to get us to understand. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David is a man who is a shepherd, a young boy. But there's something that comes into his life that he probably didn't expect. That was the giant Goliath. And he had learned through the experience of being a shepherd that the Lord, the shepherd, would take care of him. So Goliath comes and tries to attack David, but he does it in futility. He fails miserably. And here's what it says. It says, "David said to Saul, 'Thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. He says here, I was taking care of my father's sheep. I was taking care of the flock. I was being the shepherd I needed to be. But I realized in me being a shepherd, I needed a shepherd. For a lion came and a bear came, and their desire and their intent was to get my sheep. And he said, God, use me to deliver my sheep. I killed the lion and I killed the bear, but it wasn't my strength. It wasn't my ability. I give glory to God. David recognized he needed the Lord when it came to his flock. You realize you have a flock? You have someone who needs you. Someone looking up to you. Someone you're influencing. Someone that's watching your life and hearing your words. And how you live and how I live does make a difference in their lives. As a teacher of a Sunday school, you have some people you are over as far as their shepherd. As a husband in a home, or as a father, as a wife or a mama, even at work, you have people who are watching you. It is as though you're a shepherd over the flock. And I want to say, along with David, we need the Lord with our flock. We need him to help us to do what we should do, to be the shepherd we should be over our flock. Here's David doing all that he can, but he realizes, I can't do enough. Here he is doing the best he can, but he realizes, I need the shepherd to help me with my flock, to those that God has put me over. He has a shepherd he can trust. He realizes, I cannot trust myself, but my shepherd I can trust. He says, in essence, I have a shepherd who is aware. David wasn't always aware of what was going on. That bear came suddenly. That lion came suddenly. The wolves that would come to attack the sheep came quietly and suddenly. And there were times the best shepherd in the land was just about to lose some sheep, just about ready to get under the attack of the wolves or the lions or the bears. And they didn't even know it. They were not aware because, listen, wolves are sneaky. Lions are sneaky. Bears come in quickly and abruptly. And for the shepherd to be able to protect the sheep as they need, he must be aware. He has to keep his eyes and ears open all the time. But the best shepherd still misses the enemy. The best shepherd doesn't see everything. The best shepherd doesn't hear everything. The best shepherd's not aware. They do not know what's happening. We don't either. Hey, you don't know what's happening in the lives of those that God has placed you over. That family, that class, that church, those folks at home, those folks at work. You don't know how the devil's going to attack. And that's why you need the shepherd, because he's aware. He knows what's going on. He knows the plan of the devil. He knows how the enemy's going to attack. And he's very much aware. Nothing misses him. Nothing slips by him. There's no wolf quiet enough. There's no bear quick enough. There's no lion ferocious enough. He is aware. He knows. David says, I need the Lord. He is my shepherd. And since he's my shepherd, I don't want for a thing. He provides everything I need. But I know one thing. I need the shepherd. I need the Lord when it comes to my flock. He's a shepherd that's aware. He's a shepherd that's alert. Even the best shepherd that loves the sheep, cares for them, loves them, would die for them, works hard to provide and protect and do all the sheep need. Even the best shepherd every once in a while will doze off. They're human. And human bodies wear out, and human bodies need sleep. And those long, long, dark hours of the night, even the best shepherd will doze off to where they will not be alert at what's going on. And while the shepherd's dozing, the wolves are coming in slowly and quietly. While the shepherd's dozing, the lions are coming in to prowl and to destroy and to harm and to hurt. Here's a shepherd who loves his sheep, but he's human, and he's not alert. And because of his drowsiness, because of him being unaware, the sheep are exposed. But David said, my shepherd is always alert. My shepherd never dozes off. My shepherd never goes to sleep accidentally. My shepherd's attention never is diverted or distracted. I've got a shepherd who is aware. He knows the enemy, and he knows the tactic of the wolves. And he's not fooled. But he's also alert. He's always awake. My shepherd never sleeps, never slumbers. He's always alert of what's going on. But he also says, my shepherd is able. Sometimes the best shepherd, the strongest shepherd, the youngest and the strongest and the fearless shepherd, the wolf's just too much for him. There's too many. And he may get two or three, but he can't get 10. And therefore the sheep are overcome because the shepherd's not able. Or the bear comes, and the bear, even though the shepherd does the best he can, and he literally will lay down his life to stop the bear from getting his sheep, that shepherd usually is no match for the bear. He is not able, and therefore the sheep are gotten who because of the inability of the shepherd. But David says, my shepherd is able. He says, I need the Lord. I need the Lord because I'm not able. Hey, that bear may be big, but my shepherd's bigger. Those wolves may be many, but they're not too many for him. They'll get me. They'll overcome me. I'm just a mere man. I love my sheep, and I care for them, but I'll die trying to defend them. Oh, but my shepherd, he's big enough to handle them. He says, I need a shepherd. I realize that I need him. He says, I need the Lord when it comes to my flock. Also in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, we see another experience in David's life. I'm talking about what David has learned as he's lived life. Life's lesson. David has learned. By the time he wrote Psalm 23, he had learned some things. This was not in the early life. This was not the little kid David. This was not the teenager. This was an older David who had learned through experience that he needed the shepherd, that he needed the Lord. He needed the Lord when it came to his flock, and he needed the Lord. He had learned that he needed the Lord when it came to the foe. Maybe you know where I'm going. 1 Samuel 17:23. And he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. And out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. David's a little teenage boy at this time. And Goliath's a monster. And David comes just to sort of check on his brothers. And finds out what's going on in the camp. Goliath's been coming out day by day and challenging Israel to a fight. The Goliath, the enemy, the Philistines, the enemy is attacking, is assaulting, is accusing Israel and their God. And Goliath said, send me out a man. If I whoop him, you'll serve us. If he whoops me, we'll serve you. David hears about it, and David sees Goliath, and he sees the danger, and he knows full well who Goliath is. And I want to say that this evening that David was not intimidated. Little bitty David was not intimidated in the giant. You want to know why? Because he knew the Lord was with him. He'd already learned some things out there taking care of the sheep. He'd already learned some of life's lessons to where when he got to the big battle, he was ready. The Lord took care of him during the little battles. If you can call a bear and a lion a little battle, sounds pretty big to me. Man alive, we get whooped by butterflies and lightning bugs, let alone lions and bears. But David had learned, I can depend on my Lord. And when he saw Goliath, he was not intimidated. He was not intimidated with his appearance. Goliath was almost 10 feet tall, a champion of the Philistines. That meant he had been trained from his birth how to fight, kill, destroy, and hurt. He had hate in his heart. It's like feeding the pit bull gunpowder. He hated, he despised, he loved to kill, he loved to see things bleed. He loved to watch men bleed and die. That's what he lived for. But he is intimidating to the average. In fact, all of Israel, including Saul, runs and hides behind the rocks and the bushes and anywhere else they can find to get away from him, to hide and pretend he's not there. But here comes little old bitty teenage boy David. He's not intimidated by Goliath's appearance. Here's what David does to Goliath. He looks up at him. And I'll just tell you, I believe I'd have been scared. I'll tell you something else I believe you would have too. We can talk big he-men stuff if we want to. We'd have been scared. We'd been hiding behind the bushes and the rocks too. But David had learned, I can trust my God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even when Goliath comes, I shall not want. I will not fear. I don't lack because my shepherd's with me. David looked up at Goliath, but he was not intimidated. You want to know why? Because he knew the Lord was there. Here's what David did to Goliath. He looked up, but here's what the Lord did to Goliath. He looked down. He had to search around and find that little speck somewhere. Where is that Goliath? Where did he go? Like looking for an ant in carpet. He was nothing to God. He may have been big to David and big to me, but he was nothing to God. And David said, I'm not intimidated by his appearance because I'm not looking through my eyes. I see him as my Lord sees him, and he is nothing to God. He was not intimidated by his appearance. He was a shrimp in David's eyes because he's looking through God's eyes. And some of your problems may seem awful big. Some of what you're facing right now may be bigger than you can handle. And you look at that problem, and it seems all so big, so impossible. How can I handle this? How can I take care of this? What am I going to do with this big problem? Could I remind you, you've got a shepherd you can trust. You've got a shepherd who watches after you with the fold. You don't have to look up at your problems like this and see how big they are. Look through God's eyes and see how little they look to Him. They may be big to you, but they're not big to Him. They're not impossible to Him like they are to us. They're nothing. There is no big problem to God. He is able. David was not intimidated with the foe because he saw him as God saw him. He was not intimidated by his appearance. He was not intimidated by his accusations. Goliath said, I'm going to whoop you. You are about to die, little boy. And you know what? He meant it. And you want to know what else? He could have done it. Had God not protected David, David would have died. Had God not taken care of David, Goliath would have done exactly what he said he was going to do. The birds will be eating your flesh before the sun goes down. You're going to die, boy. I defy you and I defy your God. Well, he messed up there. Talking about David is one thing. Talking about David's God is something else. And David said, I have a Lord I know I can trust. And I'm not intimidated by his appearance, no matter how big he is, no matter how powerful he is. And I'm not intimidated by his accusations. What he says, and there's empty ears. I just let it go through out one side, come in one side and out the other. You ever hear the devil whisper to you? Does he ever talk to you? Does he ever tell you, remind you how bad it is? Does he remind you that in yourself you can't do it? Now, he wants us to stop right there. He doesn't want us to realize I can't, but God can. He wants us to see how weak we are, how impossible it is, and how he's going to get us. We need to do like David. We need to have learned by now that we can trust our Lord, we can trust our Savior, and not be intimidated by the accusations of Satan. David was not intimidated by his appearance, by his accusations. He wasn't intimidated by his armor. Now, just the size of Goliath and the strength of Goliath and the training of Goliath and the intelligence of Goliath and the hatred of Goliath was not all David had to contend with. He also, Goliath was covered with armor. To where if somehow David could weaken him, how could he get to him? In other words, in David's eyes, humanly speaking, there was no way to defeat this Goliath. No way, because the armor protected Goliath. And that's why David knew he needed the Lord. That's why he knew he needed help from somebody bigger than him. Because that armor was impenetrable. That armor could not be broken through. That armor would not let anything in. David had no hope of defeating Goliath, let alone hope of not being defeated himself by Goliath. We don't even hardly enter this in our life. Because most of the time, if we can just survive the attack of Satan, we're happy. We hardly ever think that we need to attack him, that we need to go on the offense, that we need to oppose him. We're not just to be victorious when he fights us. We're to be victorious by fighting him. Now, I'm not talking about picking a fight, but I'm saying when he attacks, attack back. Give him the word. Give him what God said. Fight back. You do know that armor had one spot, one opening. And that's where God sent the stone. David was not intimidated by Goliath. He had learned, I need the Lord when it comes to the flock. I need the Lord when it comes to the foe. And he had learned the hard way. He needed the Lord when it came to the flesh. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, we are reminded that David was flesh. That David, a man after God's own heart, a man who loved the Lord, a man who wanted God's will in his life and walked with God, but he was flesh. And we find in this verse that flesh always leads to selfishness. David learned the hard way. I'm talking about learning life's lessons. If we live life, we ought to be learning some things. Flesh always leads to selfishness. Listen, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. This was a time when the kings went to battle with their men. Well, what's David doing? There's a battle going on. That David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. David's about to find out his flesh is going to get the best of him. His flesh is going to lead him, has led him to selfishness. He didn't want to go to battle. He stayed home in the palace and took it easy. That's what flesh does. Wants to relax, take it easy. Do what I want to do. Who cares what's right? Who cares what God wants? Who cares what the Bible says? I want to stay at home. That's what the flesh will do. And that's what he does. But in that staying at home, it leads to worse trouble. I guess you know what happened. He learned that he needed the Lord when it came to the flesh. Flesh always leads to selfishness. Flesh always leads to sin. 2 Samuel 11:2. And it came to pass in the eventide, when it starts getting dark, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You know what happened? He sent for her and took her. He's learning life's lesson. This is going to be a hard one. He's already learned. Hey, this same man who learned that he needed the Lord when the with the flock and with the foe, now is going to learn the hard way he needed the Lord when it came to his flesh. Flesh leads to selfishness. He laid home instead of going to fight. Flesh led to sin. He saw Bathsheba and he sent for her and he took her. And you know the story. She became expecting a baby. So David, in his twisted thinking, thought, I got to get out of this somehow. I'll send for Uriah and bring him home, and he'll go into his wife and he'll think the baby's his. But Uriah was a man of God and a man of character. He wouldn't go into his wife. So David said, I got to get rid of Uriah because I want Bathsheba, the flesh. I'm telling you, the flesh. It's so vile. And David told Joab, next time you're in battle, you tell your troops to advance. And in the heat of the battle, let everybody retreat. Let Uriah be left out there and let him be killed. That's what happened. David becomes an adulterer, and David becomes a murderer. The man of God, when flesh takes over. When flesh takes over, we're in trouble. I'm going to tell you, no matter where we've walked with the Lord, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter what we've experienced with him, without the Lord's help, we are in trouble with our own flesh. David's learning that. Flesh always leads to selfishness. Flesh always leads to sin. Flesh always leads to sorrow. About a year later, Nathan is sent by God to talk to David. Nathan says there's a man who had one sheep. There was a man who had many sheep. And the man who had many sheep came and took the man's one sheep. And David in anger said, whoever this man is, he will pay. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. And boy, David broke down. Conviction came. Guilt came. He got to the end of his rope finally. And his flesh leads him to sorrow. He repents, he gets right, and God forgives him. He confesses. If you read Psalm 51 sometime, you'll see where he, from agonizing heart, pours out his heart to God. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Here's a man falling apart because of his sin, because of his flesh, because of what he did. David, no doubt, many times at night thought, how in the world could I have done such a thing? That's what flesh will do. He has learned. He is learning. I need the Lord when it comes to flesh. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I need him. And if I'll trust him, he'll take care of whatever I face. He says, purge me with hyssop. and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He says, I know you'll forgive me and wash all my sin away, and I'll be white. Listen, make me to hear joy and gladness. For a year he heard no joy. For a year he'd known no gladness. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He's saying, God, you've busted me up. I needed it, and I deserved it. And you didn't do one thing I didn't deserve. But because of my sin, I'm hurting. Because of my sin, I'm coming unglued inside. And I'm asking you to heal me. I've confessed to you, but the guilt's still there. The anguish is still there. Oh, God, cleanse me and help me to know you've forgiven me. That he continues restoring to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. That then, listen, then I will teach transgressors thy ways. He said, God, if you'll help me to get right, I'll warn others about the flesh. I'll tell others what happened to me. And I'll beg them, don't let it happen to you. But he continues, and sinners shall be converted to thee. He says, God, if you'll cleanse me and wash my sin away and restore the joy of thy salvation, I will tell others, I will warn them about the flesh, but I also will tell the unbeliever that there's a good God in heaven and you will use me to reach them. You see, David wasn't beyond help. And all that he had done, when he got right, God used him again. But I've said this, and I'm done. Flesh leads to sorrow. Here's the conclusion, 2 Samuel 12:10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. God forgave him. God restored his joy. And God used him mightily. You remember Psalm 23 is after all this. But God said the sword will never depart. You'll never get over all the results of what happened with Bathsheba. Because I don't want you to forget. God will forgive us, sure he will. God will restore us. But there's some things, sometimes, he says, the sword will never depart. You will pay for this the rest of your life because I want you to learn. Learning life lessons. We need the Lord with our flock, those people you've been placed over that you influence. We need the Lord with our foe, the devil, and all the enemies. We need the Lord with our flesh, ourselves, me. Without the Lord, we're in trouble. Let's stand together.